Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. It's Tuesday, Cinco de Mayo, everybody. And you know what that means. I'm joined by my friendo, Casey Bubba, at BDNTrick on the Twitter. Casey, what's going on?
Dos Equis and chips and salsa for all. Let's go.
No party Coronas.
Time. Yeah, no Coronas. That stock must have plummeted. My God. But, yeah, things are good, my friend. It's a wonderful Tuesday. We're going to talk about some things that are getting me all jacked up right now. Life is good as we are getting closer and closer to baseball.
Yeah, I got
to
tell you, there's a different energy for KC today than there has been. Very, very excited. And let's just dive right into it, man. Before we started the show here, you had told me about Trevor Plouffe's comments about the MLB's plan and what he's hearing about it, and that's what really is getting your blood flowing. So tell us about what Trevor Plouffe has been saying.
And he tweeted it out on Monday afternoon. He works for John Boy on the Talking Sport Baseball and all that, so he might have a podcast out by the time you listen to this. Not sure. But he did say something, and I take guys with some credibility that are in the game or were in the game like Plouffe. He says, you want to hear some good baseball news. I just heard from multiple sources that on June 10th, that would be about a little over a month from now, great, spring training 2 will begin. July 1st will be opening day, and all teams, this is the big one, will be playing in their home ballparks. He'll be discussing it on a future show. We'll discuss it now, Bogman, but this is awesome because we've all kind of had the hunch. I think you're on the same page with me that June seemed like the ramp-up time. July 4th-ish, give or take, was going to be the start of the season. If this was going to happen, that was how it's going to be. It was just a matter of more so, how are they going to do it? Which plan of the million plans we've heard was going to be the one? The fact that they're talking about home ballparks is huge. I think this points more towards the three-division plan we talked about, because I think they still want to limit travel. But home ballparks, California teams in Arizona, New York's in Florida, I'm pumped. I'm absolutely ecstatic right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm jaded a little bit. So I'm not as excited as you because
you don't get all the teams.
No, not at all. Because I don't, to be honest, I don't know that I'll be going to a game anyway this year. So even if they were all here, it'd be a little bit difficult to get me out. But Major League Baseball is almost the boy who cried wolf at this point, right? Like, yeah. We keep hearing about all these plans. This is the plan. That's the plan. Here's a new plan every single week. And I apologize to those of you who heard me talk about it yesterday on the In This League baseball fantasy baseball podcast. But I'm just kind of sick of hearing about all these plans. I think that, you know, the NFL has done is come out and said, nope, we're not moving anything. Camp is still you know, camp we'll suspend and make virtual. We'll do the draft, but it'll be virtual. And our schedule is going to come out next week, and it's going to be a 17-game season with, you know, the Super Bowl at the normal time and everything. The only thing that they've come out and said that they're definitely going to change is the international games. They're like, yeah, those are done. We're not going to do those anymore. But everything else we're going to do. So with baseball, slowly trickling out these plans to get public approval and, you know, all that stuff is just, it's just annoying to me, especially when you don't get the entire, you know, baseball world on the same page, because Mike Trout is over there complaining about the Arizona plan, you know, and then other players are saying, well, there's no way I would do that. I would not isolate myself, you know, for away from my family and all that stuff, which is, you know, it's something that you should have done ahead of time. Now, I like this plan because it says, okay, we're going to get back to some normalcy. I mean, maybe the stadiums are going to be empty, but you're still going to have the players, you know, playing the games at their home ballparks. I love that, but there's also question marks about, you know, what does California do? Are they still going to be shut down? What do you do with Toronto, who said there's no sports to be played for the rest of the year? What do you do with the New York teams, where, you know, they're kind of the epicenter of all this stuff? So I am excited. Don't let my tone knock everything down, but I'm frustrated with how MLB has presented us these plans, because I feel like the NFL has the luxury of not being in the middle of their season when this stuff starts.
Exactly.
So I'll give baseball a little bit of a break there, but I don't know, man. Rob Manfred's, his commissionership has gone from, you know, really good to right next to Bud Selig in a span of like 6 months.
Oh yeah, Rob Manfred's a first class moron.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just frustrating. But man, I'm like, give me something, give me anything with baseball, and I'm definitely happy about it.
Yeah, and we'll get more information. I'm just pumped. Like I've said so many times, I agree. Like all these plans are just annoying. Like just pick something, let's go. I get it. It's just I like the fact that they're trying, they're working on something. There's optimism. And now we're kind of penciling something down, and that gets me even more pumped because there's been so much negativity about all of this.
And I was just part of it, so
I've tried to stay optimistic this entire like time since it happened on March 13th or whatever it was, and it's very difficult because I'm a realist where I've said many times, I don't want anybody to get sick. Like, I get it. Like, there needs to be proper precautions in play. I believe that with everything going on right now. Like, start trying things, but be smart about it. Don't be stupid. I get it. But with baseball and most of these things, you follow money. These guys have money. It's very simple. If they have to, you know, I've heard of great proposals. It's, you know, for every test you buy for a player, you buy like 3 or 4 of the public.
Yes.
That's cool. They have the money to do it. Go do it. That's simple. That helps everybody involved.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I agree. I don't believe there will be any fans probably all season. I know Florida's guys are already saying they're going to let like a quarter of the stadium start filling up for football and stuff.
Well, if Florida – if the Florida crowds are the exact same the Marlins and Rays have had, I think we'll be okay. Right?
Fair enough. That's very valid. Sorry, Yancey and Jason Collette.
Well, but, you know, they know.
Hey, facts. The truth hurts sometimes. But I'm excited for the opportunity that we have baseball, all this work and what we love to do will actually come to fruition potentially. It'll still be different. There's going to be quirks to it, big time quirks. But we have something that's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready for KBO that started. Will start as we're recording this tonight. It's 10 o'clock for me and Bubba, 1 a.m. for everybody else. So it's already happened as you're listening to this. But man, I'm telling you, like, I'm a night owl anyway. So the KBO,
you're lucky for this.
Yeah, starting at 10, I'm on board. Let's go.
Coach. I'm so jealous because, like, I've already got my TiVo set up to record it, and that's happening because, like, you know, I've heard you and Welsh talk about it. Like, you throw Netflix on when you're, like, doing work on your computer. I used to always have a baseball game on in the background. I don't care what game it is. So it's like, I'm going to record the KBO game. When I go home from work the next day, I'm just going to throw it on TV and do whatever. Like, right now I'd have it on as we record. Stuff like that. And it's going to be amazing to have that kind of stuff back. And I've said it to other people. What I love about this, and obviously once MLB comes back, we all know this – the enjoyment of the KBO is going to dwindle. I can already see that coming a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
I hope ESPN keeps it. That's a big wild card here. Just because for guys like you and me and others, I like the idea now that we have something to watch for that next wave of player that comes over. Because how many times does a player come over from the KBO And we have no idea who they are. We go to like Dan Kurtz's site and look at stats, but can you really equate those things? Not really. But if we can put a face and a swing and all that kind of stuff to it, that's going to be a big help going forward.
Yeah, the Welsh on the ITL Baseball podcast today said, you know what I wish? I wish that all the other leagues could just play in one big league so we could see everybody else that was going to come up as far as, you know, the foreign players go and all that stuff. And I was like, well, she just said the most American thing.
I bet he wants them to play at his time zone too. Like, well, it doesn't matter if it's 3 a.m. in Korea, he doesn't care because it's, you know, it's 4 in the afternoon for him and he can open up a little scotchity scotch and watch the game.
Let's play those games early. Those can be morning games, you know, so instead of daytime TV or whatever, you can flip on some KBO action. I like that plan for sure. So, but it was just kind of funny. It's like, can China and Japan and Korea and Taiwan and Australia and, you know, all the teams in Europe and Africa, can they all just play in one? We'll just call it the foreign MLB. You know,
they call it the World Baseball Classic. Well, you get it every 4 years.
I love the World Baseball Classic.
Dude, I got so hooked last year. Like, if they wanted to cancel the season and give us like a month of World Baseball Classic, I'd be in.
Yeah, I'd be. I mean, I would.
For the safety of everybody, I'm cool.
Right. Just give us something. Right. Yep. So I'm for that as well. I mean, okay, so out of all the plans that you've heard, do you think that the one where all the teams are kind of going back home, do you think that's the most viable one? The only thing that I worry about with that is all the flights.
Yeah, that's the one I can't understand. That's why I'm kind of surprised they picked this one, because I figured they'd want to limit travel a ton. But I'm going to assume they've done all their proper research here, and they're going to get everything like chartered and to the T's taken care of. Like, you know, this is going to be all hands on deck with what's going on here. I think it's got to be the divisional ones, like with its the West, Middle, and or Central and East, where it's 10 teams in each division. Far. That's my guess, because I doubt you want teams traveling from like Seattle to Florida and stuff like that. You want to keep everybody close by. That's my assumption. Hey, but every time I think we're locked into something, they change it, like you said, all the plans. The biggest thing, Toronto, New York, California, they're playing somewhere else. The rest of it, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I'm for whatever gets us baseball. So, like, you know, if they all move and play in Alaska and they set up mosquito nets everywhere because it's the summer, fine. You know, play in Alaska. I don't care.
They can play just 24 hours a day because there's always sun out.
Yeah,
so good.
Just put it on my television. I don't care when they play. I don't care what happens. Bring your whole family up there. You know, that's fine. So just get us some baseball. That's what I want. But how much of the KBO do you think you're going to watch? Are you just going to watch it recorded, or are you going to stay up some nights? Do you think it's going to hook you like that, or what?
It'll probably always be recorded. I'll try to stay awake, but I get up at 5 in the morning, and I realize when I'm an old man is by like 8:30, I start hitting a wall. And I'll try to watch it, but basically if I'm sitting in my recliner or I'm laying up in bed, I'm going to start fading quick. Yeah. So that's just the truth of it. I really am excited about it. I want to watch it. There's some really good players there, as you found out and others have found out doing the research on this. So I will watch it. I just won't be like invested. I can already picture Twitter on Monday night, whatever took place, that it's going to be just everyone live tweeting the whole thing because it's the coolest thing since sliced bread. I probably won't be a part of that, but yeah, I'm excited.
I'm going to be all up for it. I mean, we had Dan Kurtz on our ITL show yesterday. You had him on. You had him, and you got to talk to him for longer than us, I think. So you talked about how he got into the KBO and stuff like that on your show, correct?
Yeah, we talked about that. I know a lot of people just want to know about players. I'm assuming that's what you guys went into. We got into players for about the last third of the show, but we just talked about his story, how he got there. And I wanted to learn a lot about what precautions are they taking, what steps do they take, because I'm pretty sure baseball is trying to follow their plan. That's my assumption.
Yeah, and that's what I said the other day when Welsh and I were talking about it. I was like, you know, it's nice. You know, it's nice just in life when you realize that you don't have to learn everything from your own mistakes. You know what I mean? Where you can look at someone, see the mistakes they made and go, all right, I'm not going to do that. You know, so I think that's exactly what Major League Baseball is doing. And I think it's good for the KBO to, you know, get the deal with ESPN and become a worldwide sensation here because they're the only game in town, like you said. So, I mean, I guess NASCAR's coming back on May 17th, which is
UFC fine. This weekend. UFC coming down. Okay. We got golf in June. We got golf. Stuff. It's popping. It's popping off. Yeah, it's I coming.
Mean, golf, but
okay. Yeah, I know. We won't talk about that. But what I want to know is ESPN is doing one game a night, 6 days a week, which is awesome. Japan made a deal with Korea. They're getting two games a night. I know ESPN originally wanted these for free. I haven't seen any numbers on this, but the fact Japan's getting two and ESPN's getting one, it makes me really wonder what took place there.
You know what? I think it's really just that ESPN, like the game's just starting so late here. So ESPN's just like, all right, well, we'll play the one because we're not going to have the giant audience anyway watching it live. Because it does start at 1 a.m. on the East Coast, which is where most of the people are, you know, and it starts late here. You know, people that wake up early go to bed early. So, you know, the 10 a.m. stuff or the 10 p.m. stuff isn't going to be for everyone like you, you know. So not everyone can be a, vampire like me. And
she uses your big brain there. That just made too much sense, you and your big brain. There yeah. it is. Too easy.
So I think, yeah, two games, they can actually watch it live and then one game here. But I also, like, there were weird things about, you know, is everyone going to be able to get the game? And is ESPN going to have their own broadcasts or are they just broadcasting the Korean guys? Or okay.
I saw, I think Jeff Passan tweeted it out. Carl Ravich and someone are going to do some of the games, and the other games is Boogie Shambi, and someone else. Like, they're all names people know,
is
but
Eduardo Perez and his frog voice.
I think it's Ravich and Perez. I think is one. I'll look it up to not sound like a complete buffoon here, but they do have their own guys doing it. I'm curious, are they just sitting at home on a Zoom call doing it, or how's that going to take?
Yeah, that's what I wonder too. Because obviously they're not going over there, so they're probably calling it from here. So how delayed is that going to be? And if it's Eduardo Perez, I mean, look, Eduardo Perez knows way more about. He's forgotten more about baseball than I'll ever know. So like he absolutely has the presence and the know-how to have that job. But his weird frog voice bothers me so much. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where talk through their throat instead of through their mouth. You know, his voice obviously way, way deeper than mine.
Oh, here you go. Here you go, Boggs. It's Ravich and Eduardo Perez for the first three games this week. Then John Shambi and Kyle Peterson on Friday night. And then Saturday and Sunday, we get John Shambi and Jessica Mendoza.
Okay. So, well, you know, it'll feel like a real baseball season when all of the misogynists are on Twitter bitching about Jessica Mendoza as much as they can. You know, I don't get Pamela Anderson and some other, you know, supermodel can call the games. As long as there's action on my TV, that's all I care about. You know what I mean?
Pretty much, yes. I'm with you there.
So I don't really care who calls the game. I do like... I like Ravich a lot. I think he's going to do a great job. I kind of feel bad for those guys, though. You know, 10 p.m.
Late night work.
10 p.m. to probably 2, you know, in some cases. Yep. But I'm excited to get this done. And you're right. The Welsh and I talked a lot about players with Dan. We set up a DraftKings lineup that I shared with you. For last night as well, so we'll see if that paid off at all. But Dan was like, "I'm not a fantasy guy. Don't hold me to any of this."
He said that to me so many times. He's like, "I don't know anything about it." I'm like, "It's okay. It's cool. Just talk baseball.
just take a guess, man. That's all we need." But we are going to hit a break here. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about some football stuff. I mean, Andy Dalton going to the Cowboys is a big deal. A lot of the fifth-year player options from the 2017 first round. We can dig into a little bit of that as well. So stick with us. It's Bogman and Bubba, and we'll be right back on In This League on the Sports Grid after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In this league.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogdan. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogdan Sports. I'm here with my friend, though, Casey Bubba, at BDentric on the Twitter machine. And plug all your stuff, Bubba. What is that going on?
All the stuff and things. Bench with Bubba. Going for three episodes this week, so come check all that out. Bubba and the Batflip, like usual, on Monday night, and then a couple guests throughout the week. Golf will be back soon. I know Bogman's not the biggest fan, but we'll be back with the Always Pressing podcast. You can get the Fantasy Black Book. We have some drafts coming up here, so you might want to prep for your drafts. Go check that out, the Fantasy Baseball Black Book. And then rotoballer.com. I just came out with some players that might benefit from the Universal DH. I talked about 14 or 15 players. You could have talked about like 45 players. But I previewed some of those guys that might have some increased fantasy value that you can get for the cheap right now. And I got some other cool stuff coming out with some ADP guys and whatnot throughout the week. So keep an eye on that, but just follow me on the Twitter. You'll get it all right there.
Yeah, man. I'm turning in my chapters are due on the 15th for the football black book.
That's going to be awesome because you're doing the draft and IDP, right?
I'm doing, yeah, rookies and then IDP stuff. In the
oh, black gold, book. Jerry, gold.
So I finished quarterbacks. I'm almost done with running backs. So then I'll be hitting wide receivers and tight ends this weekend and doing the IDP. And then I have to do my bio and then my overrated, underrated players, too. I always forget how much goes into it. I'm like, yeah, I just got the rookies. That's it, you know. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm doing IDP. Oh, that'll be easy, you know. And then I'm like, oh, and then I have overrated, underrated, and I have to write a bio. Okay, so I'm writing a book. So that's fine. But it'll be done. It'll be done on time, I promise. So I'm getting very excited about it. But I tell you what, Bubba, a lot of people are, I don't know, upset, surprised, whatever, by Andy Dalton going to the Cowboys in free agency. He was cut by the Bengals last week, which made a lot of sense. I mean, you know, the thought process of saving Andy Dalton this year is maybe you don't get as much ramp-up time in camp with Joe Burrow, and maybe you need to start Andy Dalton just because, you know, Burrow got limited time to begin the season. But they said, you know what, we know what we have in Burrow. So we're going to cut Andy Dalton, let him go sign somewhere else. And it seemed like there were jobs open. You know, New England was a big rumor. Jacksonville was a possibility. Some people thought, you know, maybe Denver with them starting Drew Locke. But he winds up with Dallas, and it's an interesting situation here in Dallas because they have Dak, who hasn't signed his franchise tag yet. He's looking to get paid, and they just went and said, you know what, we'll get a guy that has started for the last decade in the NFL, and if you don't sign, this guy can do it. I mean, needing a backup quarterback is a big part of the game today anyway, but what were your initial thoughts when you saw Andy Dalton going to the Cowboys?
I was surprised. I understood some of this, you know, shock and awe from it all because guys like myself thought, okay, Dalton would be perfect in New England. He'd be perfect in, you know, some of these other setups that are like Jacksonville, he was linked to pretty prominently. I thought those would be great spots for Andy Dalton, but this also makes sense. You know, like you said, Dak's not locked in. Dalton's not costing a lot. He's from the area. He went to TCU. I think he's from Dallas, actually, yeah, or close by.
Well, he's from Katy, which is where I was born. Katy, Texas, which is by Houston. That's where he was born, but he played at TCU in Dallas. So
Dalton's the second most popular guy from Katy, Texas. That's good to know. Good to know.
I don't know if you heard, but Welsh kept calling him Red Rocket instead of Red Rifle the other day.
Oh, it's like when my dog's happy to see me. That's who Andy Dalton is? Or like, are we going to call him Lipstick next or what? My goodness. But yeah, once it sat in, because like, I literally thought, put him in New England, as much as I hate the Patriots, it made too much sense. Like, they'd actually be scary again. It'd be the perfect Patriots move to screw me. But going to Dallas makes sense. Dax, you know, one injury. We've talked about time and time again on this show, and you've done it on others, how important these backup quarterbacks are these days. If, God forbid, something happened to Dak, you have all those weapons still in Dallas. A guy like Andy Dalton could just walk right in there and keep you very competitive. So that is a great move there. He's cheap. If Dak doesn't come back, you give Dalton a couple extra bucks. He can keep those weapons going for a couple of years. And in the long scheme of it, now there's two gingers in Dallas, so there might be a half a soul. So we're good.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is smart all the way around for Dallas. You know, I know that Dez Bryant came out and said, no disrespect to Andy Dalton, but the Cowboys need to pay Dak and all this stuff. And it's like, how can Andy Dalton not take disrespect in a tweet like that? You know what I mean? So I don't know. But all of the people saying that you're disrespecting Dak, and people saying, well, you paid Tony Romo so much more money and he wasn't as good as Dak. And I believe that, to be honest with you. I mean, Dak has a long way to go to catch Tony Romo, but I think the talent is there for him to way surpass Tony Romo. So I'm not surprised by that either. But also, what did the Cowboys win when they were paying Tony Romo so much? And this is the thing that is coming to hamstring some NFL teams, is you have to pay your quarterback an exorbitant amount of money, and they eat up a big chunk of cap space, and now you can't go, you know, whether it could just be a couple starting spots, but that could be the difference between being a playoff team and being a 500 team.
Ask the Rams how that's going for them.
Exactly.
Luckily, Russell Wilson's a beast. Otherwise, it would be the same thing in Seattle. Because look at the supporting cast there. They can't pay for anybody.
Well, they can't pay for a line. That's for sure.
Yeah. So that's why people talk about, you know, get that guy in the draft. Like, people trading up for Lamar Jackson, you know, get him cheap for 5 or 6 years or whatever, and then you make your decision. But while you got that cheap quarterback, that's why I was cool with the Dolphins trying Tua out, because if they can get him cheap for a few years, and plus you got Fitzpatrick relatively cheap, you can build around these guys and try to make a run. Like, the dynasty that the Patriots put together is going to be very difficult to ever do again. I'm not going to say never will happen, because anything can happen.
Right.
But you kind of know what I'm saying. Like, there's going to be runs of good teams. It's going to be hard to continue that without just dominating the draft year in and year out.
And Brady voluntarily took less money.
Yes.
Because he wanted to win. I mean, he didn't take scrub money. You know, it's not like he's sitting there at the NFL minimum because he wants to win that bad or anything. But instead of, you know, being paid whatever, $30 million a year, he's paid 20 and then took the rest in a bonus or whatever it would be. So he literally took money out of his own pocket to, you know, help the team to win. And that was probably the thing that annoyed him the most with New England, is it seemed like, you know, over the last couple of years, they weren't really adding a ton of talent, which, as we've seen in Green Bay, will upset your quarterback, you know. But Brady is a little more classy, so he's not going to be a huge crybaby about it like maybe Aaron Rodgers is.
Easy.
I haven't heard Aaron Rodgers actually.
I was just about to say, I haven't heard anything from Rodgers through all this yet.
And he was the first one to reach out to Jordan Love.
Because I think, and I know I might be biased to some, I actually think Rodgers is a good dude. I really do. I think there's you listen to Pat McAfee, who's actually friends with him, and he's been on McAfee's show because he trusts Pat. And you hear Rodgers open up about things. McAfee talks about a lot of the inside locker room stuff. He says the media did him real dirty early on.
Yeah.
And Rodgers holds those grudges. Like, he's You know how, you know, the whole MJ thing right now, how he remembers everything someone says? Rodgers does not forget that either. And it might make him come off looking like a complete tool at times, but that's all it really is. Like, he just really does not like that kind of stuff. Now, what he does with his head coaches, that's a whole other story. But I believe that he'll actually be good with Love. He'll probably flat out tell Love, hey, you're not taking this job anytime soon, but hey, be a great backup and I'll help you out. Because I've heard him speak big, great words about Brett Hundley when he was there. Like, they go fishing in the offseason together. Like, he likes his backup quarterbacks. It's just, don't try to take my job, probably.
Well, I can't remember who they had, like, a third string guy on their roster. And when, do you remember when they had to cancel the Hall of Fame game because the field conditions were just too horrible? Aaron Rodgers, they asked him about it. He wasn't going to play. He said, well, I think it really sucks for our backup guys because they don't get, these are important snaps for those guys trying to make the roster, you know? So I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a huge, you know, D-bag or anything. I think he's weird, you know,
yeah,
obviously, being a superstar person with cameras in your face all day, no matter where you go, makes people weird. And so it's not really his fault. You know, I know he has weird stuff with his family, but who doesn't, you know?
Yep.
Is there anybody out there that doesn't have weird stuff with their family? But I don't know, like the chip on your shoulder stuff, I feel like there's got to be a little bit more there because, I mean, I didn't even put this on the sheet, but did you see the stuff about, you know, the Jordan Love pick was fueled by Matt LaFleur because he can't take Aaron Rodgers' attitude anymore? Like, that just doesn't seem believable to me.
It seems pretty odd. I've seen the same things you're seeing. Some pretty heralded reporters in the area are writing about it. Like, it was a fact is what they're basically coming out with, that LaFleur's had enough of them. We're doing this. And I'm like, okay, if LaFleur's had enough of them, that's fine. It's been 1 year, so that's pretty quick to break up the relationship. But if he's had enough of them, do you think it's really a good idea to draft Jordan Love in this situation? You could have done a lot of things differently and still kept your team competitive without completely taking things off the rails. So that's why I said, I think a week or two ago on the show, that take Rodgers in fantasy because he's just going to throw it everywhere. Like, him to Devontae Adams is going to be a thing in a big, big way this year.
Yeah.
But, LaFleur is an idiot. If that was the real thing behind it, it's like you have Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play, and you're a new head coach, you might want to pick your battles a little wiser.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing with specifically football, more than probably any sport, is you can have a good coach can help bad players, but a bad coach can have good players and still win. If your players are good, you can still win. But a bad coach with bad players, and you have Hugh Jackson. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, pretty much every Raiders season for the last decade.
Right, exactly. So bad coach with bad players will never work. Good coach with bad players can work. Or not bad players, but just league average guys. You know what I mean?
You
can
no
be much, much better. But if you have a good coach with great players, you're probably going to win. And that's what, you know, Tom Brady was. And nothing against Bill Belichick, but everyone who argues with the Belichick side of that argument is, to me, just a little crazy. And they say, well, look, you know, when Brady went down, their seasons weren't terrible. They didn't bottom out or anything. They were still competitive. I know sometimes they didn't win, go to the playoffs and stuff like that. But their record without Brady, I thought, was pretty good for his career. Like, the games that he missed, I think they're still well over 500. Well, yeah, that's because Belichick is a good coach. And you can beat the bad teams with a good coach, even with average players. But so he's good. I wouldn't. And that's why, you know, when we looked at the odds the other day when we were doing the AFC East, Bubba, and we saw that the Patriots are still favored to win that division, which you and I wouldn't have thought in a million years because Belichick is a great coach. But, you know, first things first, you know, you got to have the players on the field. If you don't have the players, you're not going to win. That's just all there is to it.
So, I got one more question for you on something. Yeah. I know this isn't on the show sheet either, but I saw it come out earlier on Monday. That, remember how we talked about the whole Saints drafted Stevens because Carolina was going to draft him thing that we talked about?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently there's some miscommunication in that rumor, quote unquote,
uh-huh.
and there are potential fines coming down. in the system from the NFL because of this whole thing. So I think it's going to be great because the story, like you said, is the Saints called Stevens and says, hey, we like you. If you don't get drafted, we'll sign you to an unrestricted deal or undrafted free agent deal. And he told them the whole Carolina thing. So they trade up to draft him. And apparently there's not and then, of course, Matt Rhule's been denying the whole thing. So this has been pretty funny to watch. And then the news coming out today, the NFL might put the little kibosh on that one. That's going to be kind of fun, something to pay attention to, because if the Saints get screwed on something again, oh, this is going to be amazing.
So which rule would it be? Did it say what you're reading that they broke? Are they not supposed to contact those UDFAs until the draft is officially done?
I've only seen I haven't read all the details on it. I've only seen the clips and the headlines and those kind of quick blurbs on it. So I haven't seen all of it. Knowing the NFL, they might go to all kinds of different lengths. I'm guessing there's some sort of, I don't know if tampering is the right word, but there is probably some kind of lying involved that should not have been involved type thing. The Panthers can't say they're going to do this, or maybe they can't contact Stevens. I don't know, because they contacted him in the seventh round, so he should be able to call draft picks. So I'm really curious to see where this goes, but I found it very interesting that all of a sudden this thing we laughed about, because it is really hilarious and quite spiteful to do, might come back to haunt somebody.
Yeah, I know you're allowed to call the players even if you're not going to draft them, because that was on the 30 for 30 for Marcus Allen. He said the Oilers called him during the draft, and they said, how would you like to block for Earl Campbell, son? And he said, well, hopefully we'll block for each other, because he didn't want to just play fullback. So they hung up on him and drafted somebody else, and then the Raiders took Marcus Allen, and the rest is history, obviously. Amazing running back in the NFL. So I don't know what the rules are that are for that. I don't like, and I've said this about the NBA on this network, on Sports Grid, when we had hardwood takeaways, when the NBA was actually playing games, the tampering rule to me is nonsense. Because how do you prove any of that stuff? How do you prove that stuff? Unless it's you are strictly not allowed to talk to UDFAs, and Sean Payton said the story, but then it's not him being, I guess maybe for contacting Tommy Stevens before the draft is over, that's something, but it would be, Tommy Stevens agreeing with the Panthers verbally would be something, but also you're not signing anything. So I don't know where the rules on tampering are, and those are rules written with, with a dying ink in the pen, So it's it's on the paper, but it's not really on the paper. I couldn't read it. You blur those lines a lot as far as the rules with tampering go.
Oh, that's why. So here.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's what it is real quick. So it wasn't the fact they talked to each other, that Tommy Stevens discussed how much the Panthers were going to pay him, and teams started discussing how much other teams were going to pay each other, and it turned into a bidding war, and that's illegal.
Ah, okay. Well, that sounds like something an agent would do. So
yes.
A smart agent. But if you if you get caught, then you can lose your license with the NFL, which is no good. So, but we got to hit a break. We'll be talking about more of this stuff and more football after the break. Stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. You can hear Endless Love. You know what that means. It's the final segment. Be sure to go over to InThisLeague.com or Patreon.com/ITL Army and check out the In This League Patreon, where we got all kinds of stuff going on for you. Welsh just dropped his new top 500 minor league rankings with some profiles on there. That's awesome. I have dropped dynasty ranks for football. I'll be having my 2020 PPR ranks done by Friday. Those will be posted as well for football. We're going to have updated baseball rankings pretty soon here. And we have two secret shows a month. We got all kinds of stuff over there for you. And you can go back, and the secret shows are more comedy-based that the Welsh and I do. So you can go back and hear those as well. I think we've done 86 of them so far. Some of them are like, you know, mock drafts and stuff. But we're going to be doing a tournament soon of the top 16 secret shows. So I have one called Essie Pants Three-Way, Bubba. So,
oh, whoa. I am intrigued right now. Yeah, where do I sign up for this?
$5. Patreon.com/ITL Army.
My gosh. Pants Three-Way.
We have one called Patheticon, which is that I know that's the Welsh's favorite because that's the one where he laughed the hardest. And a bunch of others. We have a Captain Stabbing one. We got all kinds of great content over there. So all kinds of great shows coming up pretty soon. You'll be able to hear like a clip or two from some of those when we get the bracket announced later in the month. But right now we're talking NFL. You know, we talked about Andy Dalton signing, and then we went down kind of the side rail, the Tommy Stevens saga and all that stuff. And now some teams might get fined or lose a draft pick or whatever because of that. But I thought this was interesting that I believe it's Thursday or Friday that the deadline to accept or decline the fifth-year options on first-year draft picks from 2017 is going to come to a close. I believe it's Thursday. But it's kind of funny to go back and just look at that draft class, you know, because that's what everyone has been doing, which I always find weird. Do you enjoy the exercise of let's redraft the 2010 first round? Or do you like that stuff, or do you just look at it and go, well, why would you? That's not how it happened.
Yeah, no, I'll pass. I'll take a hard pass on that one. I have too many other things to do on my schedule that involve the current time I live in. I can't really take time in the past. Like Rafael Palmeiro said, I'm not here to talk about the past. So
that was McGuire.
Whatever. They're both crooks. So let's just move on.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. Like that kind of stuff always. Like,
what does that exercise even accomplish, really? Besides saying this guy was horrible, this team made a bad pick.
Yeah, it's something to talk about. That's all it is. But going back and looking at the 2017 first round, and I can hear the Bears fans just turning this podcast off right now. But neither do I. The very first pick was Myles Garrett. And he had his option exercise. Of course, one of the best defensive players in the NFL, made a huge mistake last year, but we all expect him to be reinstated and ready to go by week one. So why wouldn't they extend his 2021 deal? So he gets it. Not surprised by that at all, right?
Yeah, no, he's going to get paid a lot of money. This dude is so good. He had a big lapse in judgment. There's no hiding that at all. He's going to get back to playing. He's one of the best on the field. This would have been foolish not to extend.
Now, the next four guys all declined, which was kind of surprising. Mitch Trubisky going 2 overall to the Bears, and they traded up with the Niners, who took Solomon Thomas. He's also declined. Leonard Fournette was declined by the Jaguars, and Corey Davis was declined. I guess, are you surprised by any of these?
I guess not really. Leonard Fournette, we know the drama there. Jacksonville wasn't going to bring him back anyways. They're not going to pay for the contract he's going to try to go get. So I guess it made sense unless they wanted to franchise him or try to trade him for cheap, something along those lines. But that made sense. Corey Davis, I get not doing it because he hasn't performed yet, but Mariota didn't help him. I think Corey Davis is actually a good wide receiver, just in the wrong system. But he's probably not worth that kind of money either. So I guess these all make sense. I wouldn't disagree with any of them.
Yeah, Corey Davis, I mean, you know, A.J. Brown came on with when Ryan Tannehill took over.
Yes.
And Corey Davis didn't. So
with who? Who was that again?
Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Hey, look, you know what? Trubisky better be looking up at Ryan Tannehill right now, right?
Yep. Yep. So, that's how you get your stuff back together, buddy. Go take notes.
Yeah. Go to a different team. Keep working on it. I mean, Tannehill had a little more of an experience excuse because he didn't have a ton of experience, right? He was a wide receiver for, I think, 2 seasons in college. And then he moved to quarterback. He might have moved to quarterback when he got to A&M, but I think he only started the last couple of years.
He played at least 1 year at wide receiver. I remember seeing pictures of it when they drafted him going, look, we got this dual threat. Yeah, no, we don't.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but Trubisky had limited experience at NC State.
I never understood the Trubisky pick because North Carolina was not a quarterback factory. It made no sense at all.
Right, exactly. So then we have, moving on, the next two were accepted. Jamal Adams, not a surprise there, even with his drama, not really surprising at all. Mike Williams got his exercise. Well, I was a little surprised by that because he, like Corey Davis, has not put it, you know, anything into motion here. Were you surprised that Mike Williams got his fifth-year option exercise?
I guess you could say surprised because, yeah, he hasn't done much. But we did see last year there was very strong flashes where we still haven't seen that with Corey Davis. You throw a good quarterback in there with Mike Williams. Maybe they hope that this could be Herbert's little buddy here, something along those lines. But it's slightly surprising. I'll say that much. But I get it also.
Yeah, I mean, it's not too much money for a big red zone target for whoever the quarterback is, too. So I'm with that one. McCaffrey just got re-signed. So
that was easy.
Wiped out his, you know, quote-unquote arbitration years here. John Ross declined from the Bengals. No surprise there, right?
No, not at all.
Then Pat Mahomes, Marshawn Lattimore, the corner with the Saints, and Deshaun Watson all exercised. I mean, I'm a little surprised that they haven't tried to early extend Mahomes or Watson, but they're just going to ask for all the money, right? So you just can't do that until after 2021.
Yeah, Mahomes' agent is pretty much telling him, hey, you just smile and look pretty because and don't get hurt. Just don't get hurt, and we're going to make a lot of money. But you'd have to imagine there's been some conversation when Mahomes is making headlines last week that he wants to be a chief for life. So I wouldn't be shocked if there's certain things taking place behind the scenes because part of me, like I said, the agent wants him to stay healthy and get all the money. But then you saw the knee scare last year. Maybe lock up a good chunk of change, too, while you can.
I mean, for Watson, you know,
he's
going to play this year. He's going to play next year in 2021 because his option is exercised. But I think in 2022... the Texans are either going to have, they're going to have to franchise him, which when you franchise a quarterback is a lot of money, or let him walk or trade him next year.
A fun exercise to be who lasts longer in Houston, Deshaun Watson or Bill O'Brien?
Man, well, I can tell you right now, the discussion we just had about Belichick or Tom Brady, and for me, it's Watson. Not even close. Not a discussion.
Big time. Yeah. Big time.
And I think, you know, if the Texans don't make the playoffs this year, you have to fire Bill O'Brien, right?
You'd hope so. We've said that a few years, though. There's something, you know, he's the coach, the GM. He has pictures of the owner or something. I have no idea because he has made so many bad decisions that he's better than a cat with 9 lives.
Right. Hassan Reddick had his decline by the Cardinals. That's not a surprise. Derek Barnett had his exercise by the Eagles, which was a little bit of a surprise to me, but I think there's still meat on the bone for him to grow. Malik Hooker's missed a ton of time with the Colts. He got declined. Not a surprise there. The next couple were all exercised, though. Marlon Humphrey from the Ravens, not a shock. Jonathan Allen is great. Adoree Jackson is a stud. But O.J. Howard had his exercise. So not only was his exercise, but they also brought in Gronk, too. So, I mean, obviously they're going to run a lot of two tight end sets in Tampa Bay, which is what Brady's used to too. Do you think Brady is going to come in and make O.J. Howard worthy of a fantasy pickup?
Well, there's a lot of Twitter that thinks he's going to the second Brady signed there. The athletic ability of O.J. Howard can't be denied. That's pretty simple. The dude is super talented at what he does. He has some butterfingers at times. Maybe maybe Jameis Winston had too much crab juice on his hands when he threw it there. Who knows? But sorry, I had to do it. I think it's a good chance. It's a 1 year, you know, exercise to see if Howard can be with a guy like Brady and make him productive and not give up on him so soon. It's either does he take the next step or is he the next Njoku? That's the question. So right. I don't mind it. He wasn't super expensive.
Let's see. The next couple were all declines. Garrett Bowles, the offensive tackle from Denver, which I could see him re-signing, but he won't get paid nearly what he was getting paid. Jared Davis, a linebacker from Detroit, has been a big disappointment so far. So he was declined. Charles Davis was declined and then flipped. He got traded from Miami to Atlanta. And that, I mean, you got to be happy about that, right? Because I think I was listening to a podcast the other day. I think it was the Draft Dudes, and Kyle Krabs is a huge Dolphins fan too. But he said 3.5 sacks in 21 career games for Charles Harris. That's just pathetic.
It was real bad. Really, really bad. It just goes to show you, sometimes it just doesn't translate to the NFL.
Yeah, and it did not for him. And no. Krabs was like, can you imagine giving up anything for Charles Harris? What were they thinking? You know, yeah. But I mean, sometimes you see something with a guy and you think you can fix him, you know.
Well, and Dan Quinn's a big time defensive guy. So he had to have seen something going, you know what, maybe if I tweak this stance or I do this or that, next thing you know, he's got some explosion. He's doing something different. Dan Quinn, I'll give him that much credit. Some goofy stuff in Atlanta. Very good defensive mind.
Evan Engram got his exercised. He was on the trade block, before the draft started. And there was a rumor that the Niners might be interested to pair him with Kittle. Obviously, that didn't wind up happening, but it'll be interesting to see if he sticks in New York or if he does get moved. Obviously, they have dangled him already. Garyon Conley, who was drafted by the Raiders, got traded to the Texans, had his decline. Not a shock there. It was a weird pick by the Raiders anyway, and now they did the same thing with Damon Arnett. So, I don't know. Arnett might be the next Garyon Conley. Hopefully not. Jabril Peppers, drafted by the Browns, flipped to the Giants eventually. He had his exercise. I was a little surprised by that one. Were you surprised by Jabril Peppers? Better year last year than he's had yet, but he hasn't lived up to his hype so far.
Yeah, he hasn't lived up to his hype. I think it's more it's the Giants for one. So take that for a grain of salt. And I think they're just trying to rely on that athletic ability that we saw at Michigan, where they're trying to see if maybe he's still learning the system, the schemes. It kind of sounds bad because he should have maybe had a little more common sense of it by now. But maybe they saw something in towards the end of the year that they want to give him another shot. Again, not super expensive. See what happens without Brady in the division and whatnot. Or no, he's in the Giants, not the Jets. My bad. But yes, you know what I'm saying.
But do you remember Jabril Peppers playing in college? Like
they were having return man and everything.
Yeah, they were having him run touchdowns in too from the goal line just
because they
got to
get that Heisman hope up.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw all the pins. You know, they were mailing out to their guys, vote for Jabril and all that stuff. He was a beast.
Yeah, he was a lot of fun to watch. Tack McKinley might be the worst first round pick out of all of the. Well, nope, second. Now that I see another one, but he obviously had his decline. Tre'Davious White had his exercise. Great corner in the NFL. Buffalo made a tremendous pick there. Taco Charlton, who was drafted by the Cowboys and has since been waived, obviously. It wasn't even on his rookie contract anymore because he was cut. So not a shock there. I was a little surprised to see Cleveland exercise David Njoku when they just signed Austin Hooper and they drafted Harrison Bryant.
Yeah, that was a bit surprising. Like, I think Njoku is a very good talent, athletic specimen, to say things nicely. I just didn't think, you know, there was any rapport between him and Baker at all. It just looked really, really bad. So I was, as much as I liked Njoku at times going into the fantasy last year, it's really scary to think of what could be this year. But again, I don't know. The Browns do weird things, obviously, but maybe they're seeing something that we're not, that the talent's there. And it was probably better to keep him than try something on the free agent or the draft class for the tight end, possibly.
Yeah, and it might be they just exercise it so they can trade him later. So
true,
that's that a possibility, too. TJ Watt, of course, exercised top five.
What a deal.
In this
30.
Draft.
Pick 30.
Pick 30, man. I thought Reuben Foster was a deal, too. Obviously, all kinds of off-the-field stuff. His was declined. He's not even in. He is in Washington still. Yep. I keep getting him mixed up. And then Ryan Ramczyk had his exercise with the Saints. But, I mean, looking back at this first round, kind of a disappointing first round, right?
Just a bit. You could say that. A couple other things I saw. Three tight ends. That was quite shocking after what we just saw this last draft season. So that was big off the board. But yeah, overall, nothing great. The skill positions let down. You know, John Ross, Corey Davis, Mike Williams have been okay. The tight ends have all been pretty rough overall. Obviously, Mahomes and Watson have been great. Fournette's been good. He was the only running back taken in the whole first round. So
McCaffrey.
Pretty odd draft.
McCaffrey at 8. So,
Sorry. He's a wide receiver. No, I'm just kidding. I have to have the fun with that.
I mean, there was some good picks, obviously, like you said. Garrett, great pick.
TJ Watt at 30 was like, I'm not even trying to stroke your ego here. That's outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, it's just great value, you know. And for whatever reason, I always look back and think that we got him at 20. I don't know. I can't remember anything to save my life anymore. But getting him at 30 was outstanding. Obviously, the quarterbacks, you know, Watson and Mahomes, fantastic. Jonathan Allen has been good. Dory Jackson has been fantastic. I really like him. Evan Ingram, pretty good too. And TJ Watt, just great picks in this class. Hopefully the 2020 class looks a little bit better, though. So as far as accuracy goes. And it'll be weird to see if it does look better, because it would almost prove paralysis by analysis. You know, if this year the class is more steadily, you know, drafted where they should have been, then it'll be like, well, maybe we don't need to do these pro days, or maybe pro days and combines are overrated and we should stick to just watching film, which is what I do most of the time anyway, is just watch the film. But that is going to wrap it up for us. Remember, follow us all on Twitter, at Bogman Sports for me, at BD Entrick for Casey Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. And me and the Welsh will be back with you guys tomorrow for another hour. So take it easy, wash your hands, and we will see you later.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.